Welcome back to Light on Conspiracies, the second part for subscribers only.
I'm here with my good friend PK from Melbourne, Australia, and we're going through a lot of these alleged terror attacks that I believe, I truly believe, staged events, more or less all of them, many, many of them connected. And PK is one of the people that is helping in a big way to show the details that expose these as fake events. You know, looking into great details, finding the things that doesn't match up with the official version and pinpointing them and then bringing them to the rest of us in the form of videos on different channels and so on, YouTube. Could you just to start with, could you please give us your YouTube channels and then maybe if we can continue with the Melbourne thing?
Okay, just quickly, PK Truth, two words, P-E-E-K-A-Y. And PK Boston as well, which is totally with Boston, which is my, probably the, you know, not probably the big thing that I've sort of noted for. But hopefully I'm not, you know, noted for just one thing. I hopefully can, you know, spread the word about everything. I was just going to say before you went on this, Ollie, if you ever come to Australia, mate, I'd love to do a little bit of a seminar or whatever you call it. With you, if you ever do.
For sure, get me over there, I would love to.
I'd love to get you over, but, you know, I got no funds, mate. I'm not begging for money, by the way, but...
Find the club.
Like, if I was a journalist for Channel 7, you know, maybe I could afford it, but I'm sorry. I'm just an independent person who does this for the goodness of my, you know, I do it for my children and my granddaughter, to be honest, so...
But whatever, I'll tell you, whatever, if it can ever be arranged, count me in. I'll be right there.
I couldn't think of anything better to be with you and Max Egan.
For sure. I love Max, so.
Great man.
Talk to him about it, and maybe we can find a solution.
Well, he's gone away for, I think, 18 months around the world. Mm. I was going to meet him 5 weeks ago, and all this thing happened with me. Would you believe it? How bad was that timing? He was going to even willing to, that's how good a man is. He was going to pay for my flight to up north to where he is in the Gold Coast. I wouldn't accept that for starters. You know, no way, no. But that's how kind he was. Mm-hmm. He just said, I want to meet you, PA.
Wow.
We've been talking for a couple of years. I mean, that was a great honor when I finally, you know, when I actually got him on Skype, I thought, he doesn't come any bigger than this, than Max. I mean, I always rate David Icke as the number one guy, but as far as, you know, an Australian, it's very rare for Australians to do anything that Max is doing, or, you know, me as well.
Yeah.
Very rare. And that's the hard part about things. That's why I was probably pinpointed with this Melbourne event, because there's no one else doing it. And I'm sure the authorities, and I'll tell you, how I know this, that they know what I'm doing. Of course they do. There's a certain guy who's claimed to be a hero, Lou the cab driver. And I'm telling you, I've been walking around five times, I think now. I did an initial one before Smoke and Mirrors. And the five times we walked past that area, he has been there every time. He was in that area where the people I can't talk about was. He was supposedly branded as a hero. Today, we walk there against, by chance we can see him, because my son hasn't been there, and this other guy, the rock man. And we didn't see him, and we walked back, come back the other way on the opposite side of the street. And lo and behold, I didn't realize he walked straight past me. I didn't know he walked straight past me. And my two guys, they ran and said, what's going on? And I looked, oh my God, it's him. He walked into the store, he parked his car. Then I sat down, and Smokin', who's just got balls as big as Texas, he went up to him and spoke to him. He said, oh, look, I'll just park my car around where he normally parks. Him and my son went around there to speak to him. He must recognize him now because he's done it about three or four times now, but he plays it cool. You know, he says, oh, you're the hero. He doesn't sort of call him out. What happened, apparently, I can't wait for the video. He says, I can't really talk because I've got the Supreme Court going, bullshit, bullshit. You know what he said his last words were? How's PK going? Where did that come from? So, obviously, they know, you know, how's PK going? I said to myself, oh, he's just over on the other side of the street, wave to him. But he didn't, but, you know, that would have been funny. But well, he could have said, oh, well, I'm his son. I'm taking over from him. But
you know that
they know what's going on, mate. They're checking me out, so.
But the thing is that if the official story was true, then they should salute someone like you and, you know, appreciate you exposing things that could be good for the investigation. But here instead, we're seeing a totally different thing, that they're trying to shut you up, which I think is very telling.
Yeah, like I said, it's hard because you can go down the street of Melbourne and you can't talk to anyone that'll say, if you say, look, the car didn't go down here, they'll look at you stupid. I interviewed 4 people, I think. They all looked at me stupid. You just cannot talk to anyone because they said, I saw it on TV. I saw it on TV. It must be real. I saw it on TV. I saw the Prime Minister laying flowers the next day. It must be real. I talk to people when I walk in the morning. You know, and one came to my door a week later. A friend did, actually. Stop harassing my friend. What do you mean harassing your friend? I didn't harass anyone. I just talked to her about a few things. She didn't seem to worry about it. But she got a friend to knock on my door saying, stop harassing her. And that's the things you get. They think you're crazy. I am crazy. I admit I'm crazy because we live in a crazy world. So I got to be crazy. Or you could say, I am insane because we live in an insane world. If it was a sane world, I'd be sane. Mm. Get it?
There's a lot of
people. Crazy world. It's upside down.
It is. Everything at this point, so much is totally upside down. I totally agree with you. But it's also people who say that, yeah, but you're only doing it for the fame and fortune. But I mean, in this area, what kind of fortune, what kind of fame? Yeah, but you're just doing it to sell books. How many books can you sell when you're a one-man band? Yeah, but you're only doing it to sell tickets for the events. I mean, these events, just like you said, I mean, mostly are arranged by people with no money. The events I go to, they pay for the flights and accommodation. That's more or less it. And the rest is on donation. So fame and fortune, wrong career choice, I would say.
I mean, people get paid $100,000 a year doing their job. We do this just as long hours, but we get nothing for it. So there's no fortune. And as far as fame, 19,000 subscribers on YouTube around the world, whoopee-doo, you know?
But also...
And like you said, that's ego. He doesn't do it for anything. He goes around the world and says, oh, how does he manage to get around the world? Because he has good people that are willing to put him up, accommodate him, pay for his airfare. Because the guy is a fantastic guy. Yeah, he doesn't charge for any seminars. He does them all for free, I'm sure.
He's even been here in our house here in Spain a couple of times. And
wow.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. I met him several times in different countries. But just like you say, it's one of the, you know, like, he's a big name, but he's not rich either. He's sort of like, it's one day at a time. So anyway, for the fame and money, that is not the reason. I think all of us that are driven to do this is just for the passion of the truth and hating to be lied to and bullied with.
It's a big thing. I hate to be lied to. And everyone should hate to be lied to. There's nothing worse than to be lied to. No. Nothing worse.
Because they lie for a reason. That's it. It's not just for fun. They do it to manipulate you and play with your mind into you, getting you to accept their solution. And can I ask you, PK, what solution did they offer right after this donut thing in Melbourne? What was the thing that they said?
Oh, yeah, there's a few things. Virtually instantly, they made out this guy was a bad boy. He was on bail for something. Within 2 or 3 days, they changed the bail conditions. Virtually went straight through Parliament like that. And virtually now is that you're virtually under the magistrate's order, whatever, you know, no bail, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent now. Well, that's been the case anyway, but more so now. They changed the bail terms completely. There's other things that we don't really know, hidden agendas. Sorry. They've got these things, bollards. You're probably familiar with bollards on the Christmas tree Berlin truck. Well, they want to put bollards over all over Melbourne apparently now because they had temporary bollards. This I can't tell you this story. Wait for this video. Where that guy supposedly turned and went up the pavement, he supposedly, according to the mayor, when he turned left, there were three temporary bollards that they placed there during the lunch hour. For whatever reason, I don't know. He said, oh, that's because of the bollards that stopped this guy to go down there. So there's something to do with bollards, I don't know, but can you believe this? Today, right where we went on the pavement, they've got a bollard there, like a witch's hat, we call it, you know, when they do road work. A flimsy bloody witch's hat sticking in the middle of the pavement. And that's supposed to, what, stop a car? Because the car went down 8 weeks ago, all of a sudden they got this flimsy bollard. And we walked up and down three times, and I made a joke about it. I pointed up, this is Robert Doyle's bollard. I can't wait to see the video that Smoker puts out. It's going to be hilarious. It is just so pitiful that, you know, it was a decision from the, obviously the council, Lord Mayor, to put this plastic bollard in the middle of a pavement. What it's going to do is beyond me. It's just a joke. It's just there to, you know, mock us. That's what they do. They laugh at us, mate. They sit back. And how ridiculous they can make these hoaxes. They could just get worse and worse. People say, oh, they obviously want to show us that it's a hoax. But still, the gullible sheep fall for it. They can make it as blatant as possible, only for, you know, the awake and critical thinkers can see. They laugh. They sit back. The people are stupid. How can they not see that we're virtually telling them that this is garbage? God, they still can't see it. So they probably go make it more ridiculous each time and see how far they can go, you know? And they probably don't care finally when people say, oh, yeah, okay, which will be like, I don't know, 10, 20 years down the track.
But this is, I spoke to Chip Tatum, the CIA whistleblower, about these things, and he said, you know, this is just another day at the office for them. You know, they kiss their wife goodbye, they go to the office, they plan false flag attacks, and it's just standard procedure.
Hoaxes.
Yeah, and also, like you say, just to spice it up or for whatever reason, they play us. And if you look at the names of many of the victims or people involved, it's actually like a joke. You know, Peter Pan and Harry Fear, there are many of them, Annie Cattle. There was another one in Melbourne, I think her last name was Dick on Ass.
The best one was Mason Wells. You know, the guy that's been the three bombing attacks.
Yeah, Mason.
When he went back to Utah, being a Mormon, he went from, Brussels. He ended up back in Utah not long later. He's sitting there with his head that looks like it was half shrunk in a bed.
Yeah.
And the elder, as they call it, you know what his name was?
No.
H, his initial. Oaks, A-O-A-X,
yeah.
Oaks, Elder H. Oaks, Elder Oaks,
and
it's honest.
Oh my God, and do you know what, when the Copenhagen shootings took place, which I went straight there, I predicted them 1 month before they happened, pointed out the exact place that it was going to happen, then after it happened, I went straight there, and one of the victims, a Jewish man, there was a guard there, he was named Dane of the Year afterwards, even though the only thing he did was he was like 32 or something like that, unemployed, living at home. I mean, that doesn't really make you a hero. And his only thing was that he was shot in the head, totally surprised, and boom, officially shot in the head. But he was made Dane of the Year. But his second name was Usan, which means untrue in Danish. You know, they're playing us. They are playing us. And
remember the guy, C-I-N-C-A, Chianchia, C-I-N-C-I-A, C-I-A-N-C-I-A. I think that was the Lax airport shooting. CIA. It was Ciancia. CIA. You go to Orlando, you got Angel Colin. You got the Dr. Lube. They say Lube, eh? But it's Lube. I mean, it's just disgusting. Yeah. They, yeah.
But also,
you put it in something you've got to mention. I forget what you said. Keep talking.
Now, Dimitri Gorgonzolas, I mean, Gorgonzola is so close to Gorgonzola so that you remember it. And also it ends with soulless.
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 Funny, I call him Gorgonzola as a joke. His name's Gorgonzolas. But I call it the Gorgonzola because it's a cheese. Yeah, smelly cheese. But, you know, he's supposedly on remand. They said his court case won't go for another year. What?
No, but the reason for that is so that people will start forgetting about it. They won't be sort of on top of it.
They said they do it because remember I mentioned the ISIS guy. That's another. The stabbing 22-year-old who couldn't chase a 59-year-old paraplegic who initially punctured his lung. He stabbed him in the upper arm, chest, hands, face. So even before that, he had a walking stick to walk, but he stabbed him. But this guy ran away from him for like 100 metres and he couldn't catch up to him. A 22-year-old martial arts expert couldn't catch this unfit 59-year-old slop. But guess what this guy's name was? ISIS Khan. ISIS. You know, it was all about ISIS.
Yeah.
His name was IS. I think it's YHS or something like that, but it was ISIS. His court appearance was last week. This happened, I think, in like September last year, so it's 6 months. They keep it quiet. His court case will be Parramatta, you know, like in 6 months' time. Lucky one of my subscribers, he went out there to check the court. He sat there for 4 hours. He went through one room to the other. It was listed, no hearing, no media. No media. This is one of the biggest terrorist attacks Australia's ever had. Not one single bit, not one single footage on the news of that day of this court case. Because it'll just dwindle away and no one will even know about it. Because it's been planted in people's heads. It's the initial 2 weeks of every event that they just feed it on the media day and night. And then before people wake up, we get another hoax somewhere else. And their attention is diverted.
Do you know when...
That's what I'm talking about. The people that supposedly die. It was just, but what about the people that died? The funerals. We don't know about these funerals. I guarantee if someone went up to a coffin and tipped it over, there'd be a dozen bricks in there. But you're not going to do that. They'll make an excuse for that somehow. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we've already cremated, but we just had to put bricks in there. But after these funerals, there's no funerals. We had a airport... I don't know if you know about that one.
Yeah.
It happened to be 2 weeks after, a bit more actually, to just divert attention away. Supposedly a light aircraft took off and crashed straight away. Had plenty of time to, you know, land with one engine, but no, two engines just happened to fail as soon as it took off. It just so happened to have four Americans on board. Unheard of. But the fact is, you know, the Americans, and no one will even know. There's probably no funerals here. But, you know, who? Ex-FBI agent, for God's sake. And the wives just happened to be 100 kilometres away doing something else. Well, they caught a plane to fly to an island to play golf. Well, the wives and else. Well, you don't go overseas if you're married to have one playing golf and one going on the drive, scenic tour. Would you do that with your wife? No.
I wouldn't play golf, so...
Oh, well, something else. You're virtually together the whole time.
Yeah.
That's why you go away on a holiday. But the supposed pilot who died, who knows? You know, I made videos on this. There's no footage of the plane on the radar actually taking off because there's a noise meter there on the bottom and we see it climb up all of a sudden at the exact moment. They set off an explosion. That's what they did. That's what that noise was. But we didn't see a plane take off. So there was no plane. What they also did, the air traffic control, you know, air traffic control, they say these things themselves, you know, you can't understand, you know, the air traffic control talk. What they did, it's 24/7 on the website. It just so happened in that half an hour, because this happened virtually 1 minute to nine, from 9 o'clock, going, they took it all day, back 19 hours, they happened to delete the audio on the website for some reason. Can you believe it? From 9 o'clock onwards, it was all sudden back on. Because they didn't want to hear us. But this Mayday, Mayday, I suppose I said Mayday twice. Is that a coincidence or not?
But it's even standard then, procedure. Standard procedure.
What's that?
That these things, these recordings are deleted. I've seen it so many times.
Yeah. For a reason. So that don't want us to hear. But yeah.
Nope.
But even the air traffic controllers, after the night, it's only a minute later, there was this big inferno, smoke everywhere, where they exploded this one, for whatever reason. Air traffic controllers, there's not a single sign of them, because it happened virtually in the airport ground, 500 yards away. No talk of any disaster or crash or panic. It's so obvious. And the plane, even the plane's flight history, this happened on the 21st of February. It's history. Its last stop of its line was February the 4th. What else do you want to need? And you can show this to people and, oh, no, don't worry about it. I saw it on the TV. It has to be true. Because you know why it's true? Because a wheel just happened to come off and happened to end up on the freeway, you know, on the freeway. A wheel, perfectly. Because they wouldn't show a part of a plane because that could be, you know, anything. But if it's a wheel, that means the plane must have crashed there. Because where else would a wheel come from? And you have a policeman there. That's all you see. Because, of course, they planted it there.
You know, that's...
It's like 9/11 where they planted things like that. Yeah. They planted, you know, down the street and things like that. Anyway, sorry.
Do you know the thing with the media coverage, which I think, as a former journalist, I mean, it's the biggest terror attack in Australia. Shouldn't the whole press be there at that court case you were talking about? It should be crammed, but it's not. When these operations take place, it's not. I tell you, when in the end of 1999, there was a court case where the Martin Luther King family had a private court case against one of the people, Joe Edgars, who was involved in the assassination of Martin Luther King. Do you know, it was like 2 or 3 weeks long, this court case. Do you know how many journalists that were there?
100.
If you compare to O.J. Simpson, for instance, where they were like for 2.5 months, they were sleeping out, they were camping there, and here we have the biggest court case in the history of the U.S. history, more or less. It should be. There was one journalist there in total.
Oh, really?
One.
That was good of him.
And that was a local journalist. I mean, that is the thing. There's the logic just stops when it comes to these, when there's a conspiracy behind it. There's this blockage, and it doesn't reach normal people. But then, if there's some kind of sports star that hurts his knee or something like that, you have 24/7 coverage. Or Britney Spears, what she has for breakfast. There's all of these people, if she... gets her hair cut or shows her boob or something like that. You have millions of views, and then something like this that really matters, zero, zero, zero.
The classic is Boston, the Boston trial. Joker, what's his name? Joker? Sanaya? I mean, the ridiculous. I mean, O.J. Simpson, you saw that was live, right? We saw his face in the trial. But apparently it depends what state you're in. You can't show it live. So they have these idiots make these little drawings. And we got Joker. First he looks like Abraham Lincoln. Then he looks like someone else. Then he looks like someone else. How can he look so different in every one of these little drawings? The fact the guy wasn't even there. There was no trial. We didn't see anything in there. It's just a fake trial, you know, supposed people going. We had all these clowns talking outside. The Broussard, Mrs. Broussard, Karen Broussard, a disgusting piece of filth. She's there with some other guy that just happened to have ear damage, all that hearing damage, you know, hearing damage because of a little firecracker. Give me a break. And this guy was 40 yards away. Oh, I've got hearing damage. They all, you know, come up with this Captain America sound real, but what's happened to the Joker? You'll never hear of him again. And like, go back to the supposed dead. Where do they go? Is there some place on this planet, like a secluded island or something, where all these people gather together? a reward for what they're doing? There must be somewhere, because they don't die.
I tell you, PK, I've been to the island in Norway where the mass shooting was. I've been to where the government building in Oslo was blown up. I've been to the Copenhagen shootings. I've been to the Woolwich beheading in London. I've been to where the 7/7 bombings went off. I've been to the Madrid bombings. I've been to Charlie Hebdo. I've been to the Bataclan, all of the different... I've been at the Brussels airport. I've been at the... Queen Day massacre in Holland. I've been to all of these places looking for where are the victims? Where are the graves? Where are, you know, I tell you, we're looking at so many, I really humbly want to suggest phantom identities when it comes to these victims. So often, they're not even real identities. And there's... Yeah. There's like Lee Rigby, the soldier that is said to have been decapitated by two black Muslims in London just 1 week before the Bilderberg meeting, making the whole international media turn that way and focus on anti-Muslim information instead of looking at the Bilderberg meeting, where Nicholas Collerstrom, a researcher, a very good PhD and author, he contacted the authorities for the name and register, I can't remember the name of the English thing, but where they have death certificate, birth certificate, all of these things. He paid them a tenner saying, please look into the name of Lee Rigby. They gave him all the details where he was born and so on. He got his money back saying, sorry, this person did not exist. We don't have any information about this. Also, one of the victims at the Bataclan massacre, Nick Alexander, same thing there. He sent in the money. They got it back saying, we're very sorry. We don't have information about this guy. There were two Spanish guys that was killed at the Bataclan. Their family was informed.
They're always foreigners. They're always foreigners.
There's all, yeah, but this is to include as many nations as possible, I would say. This is, when you, if you've got 14 victims, there will be 11 different nationalities.
Always one Australian.
Sorry?
Always one Australian.
Yeah. And
always an Australian.
And they're often a Jewish victim as well. There's some Jewish connection to many of these operations, big time.
Don't talk about them. Don't talk about them. I got into trouble.
Well, you didn't say it, I did. And but that is, Mossad is very, their presence is very strong when it comes to the operations here in Europe.
Yeah, we know that.
But
no one talks about it.
No, but this is the thing, you're not allowed to say. You're not allowed to point in any direction going that way. But
yeah,
back to Chip Tatum, he said that very often when they had operations, it's like they totally worked together, you know, the Mossad, the CIA, MI6, and so on. It was just an exchange. And when you look also where these so-called alleged attacks take place, it is in NATO countries, the US, or... countries that are, have these kind of security agreements like Australia and Canada as well. It's the same being played again and again and again, this exact same theme being played again and again, the same flowers,
right,
the same business, the same. It's the same, the same, the same. I pity these people because, I mean, how boring must it be to be repeating themselves and having to come up with new themes when they have to stick to the same. Not easy. And I think that is also why they don't do it very good anytime.
They tend to, like we had the Nice truck attack followed by the Berlin attack followed by the Melbourne attack. They tend to use the same theme a few times in a row. Then
yeah.
They'll try something else. But they'll use something that's successful. They'll pick out bits of Nice. Well, yeah, that works, you know. Truck hitting people. That's easy. We'll just have crisis actors there. We'll show a truck going there with Richard. I'd meant to get that Richard Goodyear. I'll get it in a second. What they do is they show the before with Goodyear of the truck, not hitting anyone. They show the after of the people laying on the ground. We don't see the middle bit of the truck actually hitting. So in people's minds, we've got the before and after. Truck injured must be truck hits people. Same here with Melbourne. We got the bullshit donut. We got the injured on the ground, laying on the ground. We don't see any footage of the car going in between. But put those two together, he must have hit. Same as, it's how it all works in every one of these events. You do never, ever see anyone being shot, killed. You even go to the Fort Lauderdale shooting at the airport. You know, the footage of supposedly this guy on security camera. You don't see him shoot anyone, but you see all these actors pretending to, you know, a few people laying down and whatever, people running around. You never see anyone being shot because it's just a perception. As long as you show this person or the truck or whatever beforehand, people put in their minds and you show dead people or pretend dead people, you don't need the middle bit. You just connect them. So what I said before about the... See, my memory's terrible. It was only a minute ago I get back to it. Richard Goodyear. You realise, Tricky Dicky, as we call it, he's the one that removed my channel.
Richard Goodyear?
Yep.
Wow.
What happened? I made videos on him. As you know the story, he just happened to be filming on a balcony at whatever, 11 p.m. at night, a truck going past from a guy that lives in Munich.
Yeah.
8 days later, he's at this Munich event with his daughter, who's just happened to be there as well, living with the mother, whatever, whatever. And I exposed him big time. I exposed the daughter. So he hit me with a copyright strike late at night at this time. Then he hit me with another one hours later. And luckily, I was able to counterclaim, I think that's the term. If anyone gets a copyright strike on YouTube, straight away counterclaim it. Simple, but you have to give your, I think, your name and address. Sorry, I've got this chemtrail cough. Name and address and I think phone number, I'm not sure. You get away 2 weeks, never in a million years is that person ever going to take you to court or, you know, legal. He'll just ignore it completely and your copyright claim will disappear. So luckily I made two claims because what happened when I was asleep, I think 5 or 6 hours later, another third copyright strike. As you know, if you get three strikes, you're gone. You're dead, like in baseball. 1, 2, 3, you're out. But the third strike wasn't even on a video of his, because it was claimed Richard Goodyear, because you know, that was the channel name. I showed an image of his daughter that was all over YouTube. And that's how simple they can make a copy strike. As you know, you interviewed Robert from How I See the World, the trouble he's having. He lost his channel last week. Well, you know, yeah. He would have heard Sandy Hook 2. He lost Sandy Hook 1 not long ago. To the disgusting, words can't describe what this creature, that's a word I, you know, there's so many words you could call this, Lenny Posner. Mm. It's disgusting, as you know. What you know, is obviously out there, who he is, whether he's obviously set up by the whoever, to silence people, good people like Robin. He's not a father of anyone that died, we all know that. It's just a disgusting story. He just makes claims on Robin's videos, showing nothing. It didn't even show Noah Posner, I think, in one video. You know how he apparently died 2 years later in Pakistan? I mean, come on. You show an image of someone that's all over the internet. That doesn't mean you can give a copyright strike. So luckily, because of my two initial claims, counterclaims, because they were upheld, they had no choice but to give my channel back. But in the old days, I wouldn't have had, luckily, if I didn't make any claims, bang, 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 there's no way of getting the channel back. You can put in a counterclaim to write all these, whatever. No one reads it. I've had to do it a couple of times. Sorry. No reply even. You don't get your channel. You lose all your years of work. It's a sickening feeling, you know. You probably don't upload so many videos, but it's a hell of a job putting up videos, putting descriptions and all that in. Especially if you look at Robin's videos, he puts a hell of a lot of effort, the diagrams, puts all the links to everything. It's beyond me how he has all the time. But to lose his Sandy Hook channel like that, it's a kick in the guts.
Yeah.
It's a kick in the guts. And the kick in the guts for the truth is fighting against the scum like Posner and the sorts.
I just want to fill in when it comes to Richard Goodyear, for people who don't know, he was the guy who filmed in Nice. He was the guy who filmed, he was there on the balcony of the Hotel Wiltshire, Westminster, showing the truck starting at the attack. Then just a few days later, the attack was at the Olympia supermarket in München, where Richard Goodyear was there again. And one of the main people that were being interviewed was Tamina Stoll, his daughter. on international media. Now, Richard Gutjahr's wife is Einat Vilf, and she is a former member of the Knesset, the Israeli government. She was an advisor to Shimon Peres. I mean, this is a heavyweight woman who used to do her military duty in, the unit 8022 or something like that, directly connected with the Mossad. So here we have a German journalist with direct connection to heavy, heavy, heavy involvement from the Mossad, who appears in two of these things. Then in Berlin, I was like, when the truck hit there, because it was almost like a copycat of the Nice attack, I was like, is Richard Gutjahr going to turn up here? I mean, I can't believe it. So, but he did not. But instead, it turned out that Einat Wills gives lectures at the university in Tel Aviv. And one of her colleagues there is a man, a terror expert called Shlomo Shapiro. And who was in Berlin just on the Christmas market minutes before the truck hit? Shlomo Shapiro, who then, he had just left, so he was on the bus, and he on the way from the site, when he heard the sirens coming and so on. He went back to the hotel, and the phone started ringing, and international media called him in, German media called him in. So he was doing lots of interviews in Berlin about this attack. What are the chances? What are the chances? And Tamina Stoll, the daughter of Richard Gutjahr, had just a few months before the München attack, taken selfies of her and Hillary Clinton.
I mean, you've seen it, one of her, what do you call it, speeches, you know, she was in the audience.
Yeah, there as well. But I have a close-up with the two of them. Yeah, I think it's her. I'm not totally sure.
I reckon it is, yeah.
But it sure looks like her. And it says, she says in the Twitter with a photo with Hillary that I'm not going to wash my hands for a few months now because I shaken her hand. You know, well, that is not really the impression I have with Hillary. If I don't think I would shake hands with her anyway. I
wonder how she's going, the poor thing. Has she recovered?
Yeah. But also in Berlin, which is standard, no CCTV footage, no normal people filming these boulders that could just show it's totally impossible for the truck to pass there without knocking them over, totally disproving. There's so many things disproving the whole thing. And then on this little short distance where all of these people are said to have been killed, 12 dead and at least 50 wounded, no blood, no people on the truck, nobody trying to help them. And then you have BBC and CNN on location before the German media even arrived, except for one guy who was filming the whole thing, blurred, very blurred, as usual, all the victims and so on. And then super sharp images of when the police is there, when the ambulance is, but anything that can really help to prove the case, blurred. Standard.
What about the dash cam footage of it supposedly coming in? I mean, how ridiculous was that?
Yeah, but that dash cam that just showed that he passed the entrance to the Christmas market. He couldn't, I'm a former truck driver. You cannot do the maneuver that he said to have done without having crashed the building to the left, in the hut on the left. There would be skid marks, there would be, you know, like, he came in 40 miles an hour, more or less, when you time it, of that dash cam footage. And then it said that he just went straight to the right, straight to the left. You cannot do it.
In about 3 seconds, because it was only like 100 yards.
100 yards. And then when the footage starts about 90 seconds after the attack, you can see that the guy, he just happens to pan across the clock on the church tower. And so you can count backwards. About 90 seconds after the attack, 8:02 p.m., it is said that he walks around filming there, totally calm. I mean, there's like 12 people massacred officially and 50 people wounded. Where are they? We can only see 3 people that are being comforted. Other people are sort of starting to take away the debris and so on, meaning the truck is right there. If there's only 3, then we would have at least some 57 people underneath the trunk, massacred, screaming for help, a wounded, and so not a sound.
The driver escaped, of course. They chased someone, turned out to be not the person. How could you chase someone and not being him? Then, of course, he escapes like they all do, because they want him to be on the loose for the next 2 days to have fear. He could be anywhere in Europe, just like the Paris attacker and Brussels attacker. That one guy escapes there. It's just always someone that escapes. But the truck had a Christmas tree stuck in the windscreen. Guess what the car here in Melbourne had? It had a pram stuck in the windscreen. So they used a similar thing. A pram, for God's sake. Half of a pram, it's supposed to hit a pram, somehow got stuck in a windscreen. Couldn't in a million years throw a pram at a windscreen to get it stuck, let alone hitting something and getting stuck. Right on the passenger, on the driver's side, mind you. So he still drove another half a block with his pram sitting in front of him, driving on the pavement, a narrow pavement with bikes on, which he never touched on one side. And he never touched a single thing for 4.5 blocks apart from people. Isn't that good of this driver who's supposedly on ice or meth, a drug addict? But he had full control of this car that he just stole that morning. It wasn't even his car, but he just managed to do the most amazing feats. Sorry to go back to that. They used the same thing, you know, the Christmas tree.
There's this bizarre footage of him at being filmed behind a TV reporter from the Today Show out in the street. Have you seen that footage? I only seen still.
Yeah. The woman, supposedly, in the morning. They built this thing up even the night before, early in the morning. He got in trouble somewhere. Then he stabbed his brother that morning because he was gay all of a sudden. And then because of that stabbing, that woman reporter was supposedly at his house, but standing outside in the rain with an umbrella. And he just happens to be behind in the car making funny faces. Absolute rubbish. Then he supposedly hijacked is a word they use, his girlfriend, went over to one of the main bridges here, and for somehow she managed to get out of the car on top of the bridge. Meanwhile, he was being chased by police, mind you. But she managed to get out of the car, but we've never seen her since. But then the bridge is only 15-minute drive to the city where he did his donuts. But going by the time frame, it was 1 hour 40 minutes between the police car stopping. They stopped the chase where the bridge, somewhere near the bridge. It was 1.5 hours. So what happened in that 1.5 hours? They stopped chasing him to when he started doing the donuts. When it's a 15-minute drive to the city, that, you know, it's just so many things that you sit back and you go, oh my God, you know what? How did people not see this? But people don't look at that. They look at the 6 o'clock news. That's it. I've seen that. It happened. I'm not going to go on the internet and see what PK Truth, that idiot, that tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist says. No, I don't want to do that.
I think very often we're looking at cases that are just as unbelievable as the magic bullet in the JFK case. And it took many, many years before people could accept the magic bullet. It was only after the JFK movie, I think, when it just became so obvious to a normal person that, oh, there's something strange here. Before the JFK movie, that came, I think it came in the 90s, in the beginning of the 90s. But before that, I sort of awoke in the beginning of the 80s. Nobody was questioning. Every time I was even talking about these things, it was this whole thing about, you know, you can see in the eyes of people, they go like, when you start talking about these things. But once you wake up, that I really like what you said before, that if we can only make people wake up to one of these events and really see that one was absolutely staged. Once you see that, you sort of break the spell and people start waking up and are able to see with open eyes on other events as well. And
go back to JFK, even now there's so many different theories. It was Jackie Onassis, it was the guy in the fleet, it was someone in a drain, and blah. They're just coming up with everything. But the fact is, Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill JFK. He could have been there, but But he was an alone assassin. I mean, the fact that Jack Ruby kills him the next day, I mean, they even took a couple of takes on that. I don't know if he's into that, but
yeah.
They took a couple of takes on that. It was so pathetic how he just happens to walk in front and shoot Lee Harvey. I mean, that's when the big conspiracy started. That's when the term conspiracy theorist started, from the CIA.
Yeah.
And anyone that questions the JFK is a... And that's what... The one thing that sickens me doing this, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, I can't stand that. No, I'm not. It's the idiots on the news that are the conspiracy theorists. They're the ones that are, you know, putting out the conspiracies. We're the ones that are telling you the truth. You know, that's the one thing that irks me. A lot of things irk me. Conspiracy theorists. I don't know what I call myself. I used to call myself a truth, but now I like to term myself as an investigative, critical thinking reporter. And that's what I am.
Mm.
I'm trying to think what the third word is. I do it for nothing. I tell the truth. Come to me. There's another one. Yeah. Do it for nothing. Tell the truth. Oh, anyway.
You'll get there.
But, yeah, go on. I was going to ask you, what do you think of Rita Katz?
I think absolute part of the whole propaganda machine. It's a
horrid bitch, horrid woman.
Well, I could say things that was not very nice about her, but it's also very interesting to see how so much information comes via her. ISIS videos and things comes via, that should tell you something. Either, why do they trust her if ISIS is for real and this terror organization we're being told? Why does it come through her? Why does it all the time come through her? And I would say maybe there is a reason for that. And I think
Israeli Secret Intelligence Service.
There you go. And it's being pumped out via her. She's part of the whole thing, in my opinion. So it's very important to become aware of who is doing what. And I say, just like I'm going to give you a question as well, because I ask all my guests, how can we know that you are not controlled opposition? And I think to answer it myself is like, you see the words and the action, do they go together? And what are the end means? What is it they want to accomplish? Can I ask you that question? How can we know that you are not controlled opposition?
Yeah, a good one. You just got to believe in yourself, to be honest, yeah. Through my experience, I promoted a lot of people I thought were good people, and it turns out they're not. And it's a hard thing to pinpoint people. I'm not calling them out to be shills. I hate that term, because everyone seems to think everyone's a shill. Not everyone is a government-paid shill. I don't know if there's many at all. They're just people who, you know, just got egos and want to stir things up. But controlled opposition, I mean, we're talking about like someone like Alex Jones. We know for a fact he's controlled opposition, because he doesn't talk about a lot of things that he should be talking about, a la Israel, Jews, hoaxes. The way he yells and screams, he doesn't have solutions to anything. Is David Icke controlled opposition? I doubt it, but there's a lot of talk that he is. But it's basically because he believes in reptiles. Reptiles could be true. Prove it's not. Prove that the royal family aren't reptilian. No one has proven they aren't. So what he says could be right. Don't laugh at him. Don't laugh at the ridiculous, because the ridiculous always ends up being true, because it's an upside down world. Whether I am controlled opposition, well, you just got to judge someone by their work. If I put 200 videos in Boston, would I put up 200 videos of Boston if I was controlled opposition? What would be my purpose of putting up 200 videos of Boston? I'd see how that's controlled opposition. judge someone by their work.
Yeah.
That's basically what I'd say. I mean, but I believe there's a lot, that chill word is passed around too much. And that's what the truth movement, as you want to call it, there's a lot of infighting. There's a lot of jealousy. lot of jealousy amongst it. One, people want to be better than the other. They want to be the first one to put out the video. That happens a lot. And it's a lot of egos involved. And a lot of people, oh, this guy gets more views than this person and he's got more subs, but I do better stuff than him. And there's a lot of that going on. When I said about my truth bombing, I asked quite a few of the bigger, you know, subscribers at the channel to help out. No, not even a reply. They didn't have a decency to reply. Like, you know, and some of that really, it's done wonders, but this could have really gone up, done big time, you know. But yeah, a lot of them do it for money. There are people who are on YouTube do it for money. Not so much paid by the government, but just, you know, or however, you know, monetizing. So be it, you know. I've just started monetizing my channel. I get nothing for it. 90% of my videos aren't monetized for whatever reason. They don't allow anything that's got any, you know, anything to do with subject, the hoax or whatever. None of my Melbourne videos, none of my, any Paris videos, none of them. The only videos that are monetized are my chemtrail videos for some reason. And no one looks at them anyway. So I might make a dollar or two a day at the most, you know, big deal. It's not even a cup of coffee while I'm doing my 8 hours, 10 hours work. And people criticize me, oh, these guys, you know, only doing it for the fame and fortune, like you said, because I earn a dollar a day. I can do this hard work, not this hard work. I can go get a shitty little job in an office and work 8 hours and do nothing, scratch my, you know what, for 8 hours and get, you know, $1,000 a week without using my brain. Whereas in this, doing this, what I'm doing here, like you're doing, Ollie, it's a lot of hard work and research to do what we do, and we get nothing for it. I'm not asking for anyone to pat me on the back or, like you said at the start, support. Of course you want support. I mean, the fact that support in the way that I want my word to spread out, you know, one person to tell others, to tell others, to tell others. How else are we going to spread the word about whatever Boston? That's the support I want. I don't want support in monetary terms. I want support to get the word out there. Melbourne, for God's sake. Me and a few people are walking the streets of Melbourne trying to spread the word. We can't go yelling there, oh, Melbourne was a hoax. Everyone will look at me and they'll get the police and throw us in the mental institution. You know, we can't do that. So we're fighting an uphill battle. But
also I think there's one side that many people are not aware of, and that is what happens with your closest family and friends as well that turn their back on you and you know.
It's hard. Oh, it's hard.
It is hard.
I mean, I've lost I haven't lost friends. You don't lose friends. It's my choice as well. A lot, I don't know what percentage of people I used to, you know, go out with, talk to, I'm not interested in them anymore because they laugh at me. They think I'm crazy. Sorry, I shouldn't say this because they'll probably watch this video, but I was going out with a woman for 6 years until 4 weeks ago, and she, it was actually, you know, when I said that the detective called me, I was at her place. We just had dinner, sitting down, having a quiet, well, actually played Trivial Pursuit. When I got there that night, I was crying my eyes out. This is before the police called me. I broke down like never before in front of her when I walked in. Because there was something in my head that was saying to me, I was being attacked, I can't remember, like the phone call from the Jewish press that morning. I broke down and she, you know, gave me a big cuddle and, you know, supported me. But next day, was it the next day or next day out, before the court, I think it was the Friday, she virtually sent an email from work and said, how are you, Peter? And I said, whatever I said. And she said, oh, look, I can't really take this anymore. Have you ever considered that you might be wrong this time?
Oh.
And that hit me. That hit me hard. And I virtually said, sorry, I don't think I can see you anymore after that. And she said, take care, goodbye. And I haven't heard from her for 5 weeks. Not the fact that it hurt me so much, but she knows, I said that my son was there as a witness. And she's virtually calling my son to be a liar. And that is the last thing I'll ever have from anyone, because he is number one in my world, as well as my daughter.
Mm.
Whether I'd never wanted to end this relationship. We never, 6 years, we never had one argument ever in 6 years. But something like that just, I don't, it doesn't cut with me, you know?
Mm.
That's what I'm like.
Yeah. No,
I didn't want to say that in public, but anyway, that's what happened.
So I tell you, most people who get themselves into this area, who choose to get into this area, ends up alone. But at the same time, on this path as well, I think it's an incredible, beautiful path as well, because I meet so many beautiful people like yourself and people that have proven themselves on the fire, you know, that have gone through absolute hell. They've had their life destroyed. They've been deserted, all of these things, and are still standing. So for me, it's a real privilege to be among people like yourself and others, like Robin and many, many other researchers.
It's a great feeling, isn't it? Meeting people who are on the same wavelength that you can talk to, and they're true friends.
Yeah.
Are just true friends. And that they will last forever. The ones I've made through the truth doing this, they've stuck with me, you know, all the time. And they're my friends now.
Yeah.
And they're the people I want to associate with. I can talk to them without being ridiculed.
Mm.
You know, I've had ridicule for years. You know, that's the thing they say about truth. There's three stages of truth. There's the ridicule, which is the longest one that goes for years. Then there's total condemnation, which goes a bit shorter period. Then there's acceptance. Finally, there's acceptance. They're the three stages. I think I'm in the middle one, total condemnation. But God, I hope that the acceptance is coming.
Because
we're going to rejoice, Ole. We're all going to have the biggest party this freaking planet's ever seen.
Truth,
all the people have done. We're going to get at Wembley Stadium from all around the world, 100,000 people, however, and celebrating like never before.
Yep. Count me in. That is my plan as well. It's going to be
us all dancing, all 100,000 or something, whatever figure that have from day one have been doing this. And we don't want any freeloaders to come in on board all of a sudden and say, yeah, we knew all about it. Sorry.
But that's the third stage of truth. It's when suddenly people say, well, that's what I said all the time. No, sorry, you did not.
Yeah.
You were giving me a really hard time, ridiculing and condemning, and now suddenly you. But I've seen that happen many times. I don't judge, you know. I just, I'm happy every single time I see someone that has awoken. But also, I think this is so much more than just being able to see these things happen. You have to deal with your inner self as well, because it's a spiritual journey. It's an awakening there as well, where we go through absolute hell sometimes and put our lives on the line and so on. So it's a hard trip.
It is.
But at the same time,
we have to fear our lives. I mean, you must fear your life. I fear my life, especially what's happened 5 weeks. I go for a walk and I have second looks at a car that's parked there. You know, it has to affect me.
But
we're at risk.
What I come to is an understanding that this might cost my life, but I came to a point where I accepted it, and that gave me sort of a calm feeling inside that whatever happens, I will close my eyes and be proud of myself when I stop breathing, because I've done what I can. I can't do anything.
I feel the same way. I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah.
You know, if I get knocked off tomorrow, God, I hope it doesn't happen. I can go to wherever I go. If there's a heaven, I've done my part. I'm not a religious person, but, you know, I've done my part, and I can't, you know.
You sure have.
I have to be happy with that. I have to be happy. I can go to bed every night, all right, and sleep saying, you know, I've done my part. Today, whatever I've done, I've done something decent for humanity. I have not been a part of the evil. I am trying to, you know, do something good, and I can sleep well because of that. And you too, and I respect, you know, the work you're doing. I know it's, you know, you're interviewing me, but, you know, like I said at the start, I am so honoured to be being interviewed by an absolute legend. I'll be honest, I didn't even know about you 6 months ago. You know, because you don't get time to see everything.
No, exactly.
I don't get time because you didn't even know who Russian Vids was, and he's one of the biggest. You know, you don't have time to see.
Nope.
I don't have people send me videos of this. I don't have time to see that. I have got another life to do other things. I enjoy my music and to do research on stuff. I spent all day in Norman today because that's the thing. I just want to probably going to end this soon. There should be more people out on the ground. America, you got 330,000 people. You're getting a hoax event every 2-3 weeks. Where are you people gathering out in the streets, fronting Carlos Arredondo, Jeff Bowman, these people? Confront them, question them. That's the only way we'll, you know, you have to do on the ground work. It's no good just putting videos on YouTube. Get out on the streets. Get out to the mayor or sergeants or councillors or whatever. Even try to go to the president or prime minister, whoever. Get out on the streets and start making some noise. You don't have to be violent. You know, you can do it peacefully. Just ask questions. I mean, absolutely. I don't know what you think of Luke Radowski, but he supposedly could interview David Rockefeller, for God's sake.
Mm.
If he can do that, you can. There's no stopping you.
Mm.
You know, doing like I did, I interviewed these people today, or that Lou the cabbie, when I actually gave him hell. I shouldn't have done that 4 or 5 weeks ago. I destroyed him on the street because I got upset. I saw his face, and I know he's got pure evil.
Mm.
But people should be out in the streets and doing this. If you have an event in your area, if you're in Orlando, you should be out there going to the hospital to see if Angel Cologne's there or whatever. You don't have to ring up like I did and make stupid calls, you know, offer flowers. Go to the hospital with your friends and ask to see if he's there. If they say no, that should raise suspicions. Go to another hospital and ask for, you know, all these injured must be somewhere.
Yeah.
There's not enough of that. That's, especially in America.
Listen, TK, we're coming to the end of the show.
All right, man.
Could you please give us your websites again, your YouTube channel, how people can contact you? Is there any way we can support you in your efforts, help you in any way?
No website, just YouTube. PK Truth. PEEKAY space truth. And PK Boston, if you really want to know what happened at Boston, it'll blow you away if you haven't seen what happened at Boston, because I've got a trilogy called the Trouser Bomb Trilogy, which I call The Attack of the Trouser Bomb, then The Return of the Trouser Bomb, then The Death of the Trouser Bomb. And that is like 5 hours of all my videos put in 3 separate long videos. So if you've got 15 hours to spare 1 week, I suggest that you put, sorry, like some people, I do tend to swear now and then. That's my way. That's the Aussie in me. I don't swear because I, just for the sake of swearing. I do it in context. When I talk about evil people, creatures, I am not going to call them pussyfoot around and call Hillary Clinton a lovely woman. I'm going to call her what I think she is. So I might drop the F-bomb now and then. So don't get offended by the F-word now and then, okay? I have my own way of doing things. I try to put humor into things. I feel I'm a bit of an entertainer. People like me for that. I don't think I'm boring. I don't just come across and... blah, 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 blah. I try to put humor into things. Because the one thing I believe, like I said, they are laughing at us, at our stupidity, to fall for this garbage that they spew on us. I got to laugh back at them because they don't like that. I am telling you one thing. When they sit back and see that there's someone mocking their rubbish, getting back at it, that hurts them. Hurts them big time. So we got to do that. We got to laugh back at them. So that's my way of doing things. People like me for that. I'm different. So be it. I like I said, I'm an entertainer.
Well, you're doing fantastic work, PK. I really want to thank you for taking the time to speak to us this evening, and please keep up what you're doing, and all the very best luck. And when you walk down the streets, don't fear them. Like I said before, they're not even worth fearing. And give your girlfriend a second chance, please, for my sake. Okay? With that said...
like I said, if you ever come to Australia, it'll be a pleasure to meet you. If by chance I end up with, you know, raising some money somehow, wherever, I don't know how. I'd love to go to Europe and meet a great guy like you and others that are, you know, there.
We'll have a cold beer one day, I'll tell you. One day we'll have a...
We will, mate. We will be shaking heads. And
for sure.
I'll give you a big hug, mate.
Thank you so much for listening to Light on Conspiracies, the place where truth and love transcend the darkness. Take care and see you soon.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize.
Coup d'etat in slow motion. Connecting the dots between the assassinations of Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, JFK, Robert Kennedy, and John Lennon. Now available on Amazon and lightonconspiracies.com. Coup d'etat in slow motion.